At some stage or other, most of us get to meet someone who is a celebrity or very much in the public eye. And if you get a copy of the latest magazine, you'll see who the curate has met as he's done our recent 60 Seconds of Fame and he's answered various questions. And he's actually said, I think he'd met Tony Blair amongst other people. But whether it's the Prime Minister, or famous footballer, a pop star, or the Queen, the head of state, the encounter brings a sense of entering a space, a geographical bubble of importance. When you meet these famous people, there's usually security and other people milling around excitedly. There's often, too, a sense of entering pomp and grandeur. If you've been to Buckingham Palace or Windsor Castle, you get a feeling of what it must be like if you're in an audience with a queen because of the fantastic surroundings you find yourself in. And then suddenly, and then finally, there's a sense of charisma, something special around the person, maybe the thing which makes them the celebrity, which makes them the famous person or the distinguished individual they are. And so it's no wonder we talk about being awestruck, being bowled over, or simply tongue-tied when we meet someone famous. But that's nothing, of course, to the experience of encountering or meeting God. In all our Bible readings this morning, there's a sense of something far exceeding meeting any celebrity, any famous person, even the Queen herself, in all her grandeur, in either Windsor Castle or Buckingham Palace. Some of you, I dare say, have been to a garden party or actually met her. But meeting God exceeds anything you can meet in this life. Indeed, in the first reading from Exodus, we're told the appearance of the glory of God was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. It was as mind-blowing for the people of Israel as it was that occasion when Moses had seen the burning bush and been drawn to it. He could see this fire, but the bush was not being consumed. It was awesome beyond belief. And actually, as we sang one of the hymns earlier, the songs, I suspect the writer of that, Be Still, that middle verse, Be Still for the Glory of the Lord, is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor he is crowned. How awesome is the sight, our radiant King of Light. Maybe he was inspired by that picture from Exodus of God appearing to the people of Israel. The people probably trembled as they looked at the fire with shock and awe, as they felt, heard, and saw the presence of God manifested in front of them. Because earlier in those readings, we hear that there were rumblings of thunder. It was an awesome sight. And if you've ever felt the touch or presence of God in any setting, you'll begin to have just a faint glimmering and just a faint idea of what I mean. The people of Israel also got a foretaste of what happens after they were to die individually. They experienced God's presence, but they experienced it in this life. After death, our spirits enter God's majestic presence. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, also got a foretaste of God's glory of eternity when they saw Jesus transfigured, changed before their very eyes. One moment he was a man, their rabbi, their esteemed leader, a human being. The next, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And as if that wasn't disconcerting enough, suddenly the three disciples see and recognize two other figures with Jesus. They recognize Moses and Elijah. Moses representing the law, of course, and Elijah the patriarchs. And the whole effect of seeing the glory of Jesus slightly unhinges Peter, in my opinion. I mean, just imagine it. I'm standing next to somebody here, and suddenly their face shines like the sun. I can hardly look at them. Their clothes are dazzling white. And what does Peter say? Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I can make a tent for you, a tabernacle, to cover you and to cover Moses and to cover Elijah. Obviously, he was unhinged. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to think, because Jesus had been chained, shone like the sun before his eyes, and he did not know how to react. Clearly, Peter did not know what to think humanly when confronted with the grandeur of Jesus' glory as the Son of God. But neither do we, of course. I mean, do we know how to react when suddenly we meet with the presence of God, we encounter his awesomeness, his holiness, his love, his goodness? Yet, like Peter, we recognize the presence for what it is, because all those things have just impressed themselves upon us. Holiness, purity, goodness, love, joy, peace, awesomeness of presence, glory of God. No wonder we're told people bow with fear to the ground. Like Isaiah, they go face down, because they see something which their minds cannot comprehend. You see, have you ever responded to the beauty of creation? Maybe you've been to the Trossachs, or even some other natural landscape in England or Scotland or Ireland. Maybe you've been to Death Valley in the States, or Niagara Falls. Maybe you've seen mountains like you've never ever seen before, if you've been to the Bernese Oberland, and you stand there and you see the Eiger, all these fantastic snow-capped peaks all around you, as perfect as anyone could make them. Have they reduced you to silent admiration and wonder? That seeing God's glory in nature has reduced you to silence. That alone can transform you forever. I remember Chris Brewer, our previous curate, speaking here and sharing how she was profoundly affected by a scene in Alaska, I think it was, from which she came to know that God is real. That was part of her conversion process. She encountered God through nature and believed that God is. And God will always be. Personally, it was an encounter with the glory of God that overcame my fear of death. Someone I knew called Tom Metters had died. And one day in my kitchen, this is going back to the 80s, a few weeks after he died, I just had this fleeting impression of him in heaven. It was only a fraction of time, a millisecond. But in that instant, I experienced such a sense of joy, beauty, peace, love, that I wanted to be where he was. I wanted to exit this mortal body and be where he was. Because somehow in my spirit, I realized that nothing in this world would compare with the perfection and peace and happiness of that place from whence Tom spoke to me. And what did he say? Tell Audrey, his wife, tell Audrey that I'm okay. Well, what do you do? Does she think I'm cooking or what? I summoned up the courage to get in touch with her. And she replied, saying I was the third person to have independently been in touch with her with that same message that particular week. The third person. It was subjective. I hold up my hands. But it was true to me and life-changing. And I've never feared the possibility of death ever since. But it was also life-changing in confirming that our souls, our spirits live on when our flesh, our physical bodies have died. Well, we shouldn't be surprised by that, of course, and don't take my experience for it, because the Bible itself attests to that. In our first reading, Moses the man encounters God. It's Moses who, along with the people of Israel, who encounter God. Indeed, we're told in the account just before our reading from Exodus that Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up. And they saw the God of Israel. And they beheld God and ate and drank. And they did not die. But of course, eventually, Moses died. He was forbidden from entering the promised land because he'd angered God by breaking faith with him in the wilderness. So Moses dies in the very last chapter of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 34, Mount Nebo at the top of Pisgah. He sees the promised land and then he dies. And no one knows to this day where he was buried. Yet in our gospel reading, we see Moses again through the eyes of Peter. Obviously alive, talking to Jesus alongside Elijah. Feel free to stand and walk. Feel free to go to the back and stand and walk. It wouldn't disturb me, just walk up and down. In our gospel reading, we see Moses again through the eyes of Peter. Obviously alive, talking to Jesus alongside Elijah. Now, his spirit clearly lived on, his resurrected body, whatever you choose to call it, because he was recognized by the disciples. And in fact, Moses achieved after his death what he could not achieve in life. On the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, Moses is in the promised land that he was barred from entering when he was alive as a human being. Comforting to see, isn't it, that even before Jesus' death and resurrection, we have the Bible showing us that the spirit and person of Moses lives on, despite the fact that his death had been recorded in the Old Testament. In the same way, the spirits of all the departed live on to stand before God in his glory. Just a veil separates us from their presence, from your loved one. Just a veil. And one day we will all go through that veil and see them again and see the fullness of God's presence. But the wonderful news today is that God's glory is available to you and me even before we die, even in this world. As you heard, Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, Peter, James, and John. God's glory filled Jesus, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes appeared dazzling white. The glory of God shone through Jesus, and still shines in and through him. And as we invite Jesus into our lives through our surrender of sovereignty to him, his rule over our lives. He comes to live in us through the Holy Spirit, and we host his presence and therefore the glory of God. And I can assure you, if we stumble, his glory shifts and his presence, we know the lack of it. We know the lack of it, because there's nothing like his presence. As we become more and more intimate with the Jesus who lives in us as Christian believers, we increasingly experience the love, the joy, the peace, the holiness of the glory of God in ways that can be as startling and momentous as what the disciples experienced when they saw Jesus shining with God's glory. One of my delights every Sunday morning is to go into the chapel. We have something called pre-worship from 9:30 to 10. And sometimes, even vicars get out of the bad side of bed. Sometimes we don't feel top of the world. But I walk into that chapel. Somebody's leading us with worship music. Not live, but still worship music. And they've drawn through their prayers, like Chris did this morning, the presence of God. And I'd go in and I'd just feel the presence of God. And my spirits are lifted. Whatever's on me, you know, things that are negative break off, fall off. Because when we worship, we see His face. As a modern song puts it, when we worship, we see His face. In fact, it's a song that has spoken to me so powerfully in these days. If you're familiar with computers, go on to Google, YouTube, and just Google Met by Love by United Pursuit. It's a wonderful song. United Pursuit, Met by Love on YouTube. Because God meets us. And as we worship Him, we see His face. You may today be remembering a loved one who's gone ahead of you. But God is inviting you to experience His glory now, rather than wait for when you die. He's inviting you to feel His heartbeat, to experience the freedom, awe, joy, love, peace of His presence, to live in heaven on earth as you build a relationship with Him through Jesus. Those of us who are fortunate to be at the men's breakfast yesterday had a wonderful talk, testimony by Pastor Fode, who came to speak to us about how his life was changed and how he believes and takes Jesus at His word. And because of that, he's prayed and seen miraculous healings, and he expects to see the Lord act in his life as he steps out in faith. But it was actually a challenge to all the men and all of us to be seeds of goodness planted, seeds of faith that impact our world. Because as Christians, we host His presence. Now, you may not have come to hear Him yet or see Him, but He's ever waiting with His arms folded out to you. And you've just got to break through to that place where you hear Him, you see Him, and you delight in His presence. We've got prayer ministry straight after the service, just there in front of the altar. We have prayer ministers there. And if you want prayer for that or for anything else, prayer for God's touch upon your life, upon your grief, then feel free after the service to go forward and receive prayer. But if you've never heard or experienced the touch of God, go forward and ask the prayer minister to pray that you might have that encounter with the living presence. I'm going to ask God to minister directly to us as the whole body here. But if you want more, go up afterwards. God the Father said to the disciples with the transfigured Jesus, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." He's saying that still to you and to me. But He's going the extra mile. He's saying, I've opened the way to my glory, for you to experience my glory, just like Moses did, just like Jesus did. If you give yourself to me, surrender yourself to me, invite me in, my Holy Spirit, my Godhead will come and live within you, and my glory will be inside you, and you can call my glory forth to bless others. Come to me, Jesus is saying. Come to me. So if that's you, don't let that opportunity go by today. Maybe once you've collected your candle, go forward for prayer. Or if you're not here for that, go forward for prayer. Anthea and the prayer ministers will be at the front there. And if there are more people than prayer ministers, we'll press gang people into service as well. But today's an opportunity to encounter the glory of God afresh. To know that your loved one's spirit still lives. And you can encounter the glory they're experiencing for eternity. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire. with splendor he is crowned. How awesome is the sight, our radiant King of light. More better and more comforting than meeting any celebrity, any head of state, anyone human, because he is the King of kings. Let's pray. Papa, we thank you that you love us with an intensity and a love we cannot even begin to imagine. That you weep alongside us, you rejoice with us. That your desire is for full intimacy with each and every one of us. You know our sorrow, Lord, over those who've left us behind. But you're also saying, I'm here. I will comfort you. I will be alongside you. I will never leave you. So, Lord, in the name and authority of Jesus, we declare fresh encounters even now with your goodness, with the presence of the living God. Come, Holy Spirit, meet them through dreams, visions. Meet them on that walk with the dog. Meet them as they lie on their bed. Meet them in the dark of night. Meet them in the midst of the noonday sun. Meet them in the quiet, small voice. May they encounter your goodness, your person, even as we worship you. And may your person bring liberation, bring freedom, bring hope. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.